You're listening to Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the noisy library of New Zealand music. Go to audioculture.co.nz.
All right, this week we're taking it to Dunedin. Last week I spoke to Amanda Mills, who's just written a piece for Audio Culture. It's the Dunedin Story Map, which is a history of all the venues throughout Dunedin and their associated music scenes and some of the talent that has sprung forth from these particular places. Let's hear the chat that I had with her, and we'll play a couple of songs in between.
Kia ora, Johnny. Well, as you are probably aware, there's been a lot of location and venue maps on Audio Culture over the last, I don't know, year to 18 months, 2 years. And Chris Burke approached me and asked if I'd like to do a Dunedin map, and I said yes, it would be wonderful to do one. So it was really making a list of potential places to include, narrowing those down because not everything is in there. But, yeah, just going about that and researching as much as possible, and also drawing on personal recollections and anecdotes as well from different venues and places.
Was there an element of word of mouth talking to people within the music scene for their recollections or stories about particular venues?
Not for this one, but in the research that I did, there was quite a lot of recollections from musicians, and you know, just in general conversations other than for this piece of work, there were always talk about, oh yes, well, I remember playing there and it was great. And I did pull on a couple of other interviews that I'd done for New Zealand Musician just to get, you know, a couple of contextual points about different venues as well.
How far back did you go, and where would you say that the Dunedin music scene was first, or where did it first kick off?
Well, some of the venues date back right to, you know, when Dunedin was up and, you know, being formed, and, you know, everyone was coming here. So some of those venues date back to the 1860s originally, things like the Empire Pub and the Crown. But the Dunedin music scene, seriously, it's not just from the 80s. It's from, you know, way back further than that. We're talking about also in here looking at recording studios, broadcast studios, where musicians would play in the 40s and earlier than that. So it was quite a trek back as well.
Like you mentioned, people do associate the Flying Nun, peak Flying Nun era, the 80s, with Dunedin quite frequently. Mm-hmm. Were there certain other decades that perhaps had scenes that were as big or bigger than the 80s?
Well, it's sort of hard to say if they were bigger than the 80s scene, because that has become worldwide known in a way. Mm. You know, you all these bands went off and did a lot of stuff overseas, whereas in the 60s, for example, you had a lot of local bands playing around in different spaces, like the Ag Hall, which was right next door to Sammy's, or at the Sunset Strip, which unfortunately burnt down in 1967. Well, the building didn't, but there was a fire inside. And so, you know, that was a venue that went as well. But, you know, there's local bands like the Dynamics and the Titans, who were, you know, they were big in the scene, and the Titans in particular, they were runners-up in the 1968 Battle of the Bands, but they've sort of been lost to all but their diehard fans since then.
There's a quote in the little article on the Sunset Strip from Roy Colbert, where he called it Dunedin's most evil night spot.
Yes.
Why is that just a dangerous place to go for a drink?
I don't know. You know, Roy definitely had a sense of humour. He could have meant anything by that. Mm. I think also there was it may have been seen as evil to parents. It may have been seen as being, you know, but what was, you know, evil and dangerous to parents can be seen as all exciting and, you know, enticing to younger generations. So maybe it was you know, different generations had a different view on it. But with the Sunset Strip in particular, you know, US soldiers went there. It was their hangout. When they were on shore leave, you could buy contraband there from the soldiers, you know, clothing, cigarettes, musical equipment. And yeah, so, you know, maybe it was just that idea of a bad influence that made it, that gave it that reputation, Walter Roy.
Are there any particular venues that are notable for being the launching platform for any bands that the listeners may be familiar with?
That's a really good question. I suppose places like the Beneficiaries Hall for the Enemy, that, you know, those two, that venue and that band are so closely linked. And the Beneficiaries Hall was actually right across the road from a flat where the Enemy lived. Also the Dowling Street recording, you know, rehearsal rooms for the Enemy as well. I suppose you call it the Coronation Hall up in Māori Hill. The Chills' first show was there in 1980. Yeah, they played alongside the Clean and Board Games. But there's, you know, so many of these venues are closely linked with these musicians. So it's hard to say if there's one launched the other or not. But I would honestly argue for Coronation Hall and for the Beneficiaries Hall.
Now there's a couple of high schools that are noted in the article. Have the local colleges in Dunedin had quite strong musical histories?
I think definitely Logan Park High. I mean, so many of the musicians went there: Martin Phillips, Andrew Bruff, Francisca Griffin went there, Graham Downs, Nadia Reid, Aldous Harding was there for a while. And there's definitely a strong music program there at the school. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Kaikoura Valley College, where you've got board games were formed there. They were a school band. And then, you know, the Double Happies came out of that group as well. So while Double Happies weren't formed at school, they all went to Kaikoura Valley College. Leslie Paris from Look Blue Go Purple and Ola went there as well. But there's also the more research I did into Otago Boys High, the more information I found on who went there as well. So there's quite a lot of Dunedin Sound, if you want to call it, alumni. So, you know, David Pine and Matthew Bannister from Sneaky Feelings, David Kilgar from The Clean, Peter Gutteridge, and people also, who was another one? From King Loser, Chris Hazelwood as well.
Oh, wow.
Went to Otago Boys. So, yeah, and, you know, this Alexander Aiken, who was a mathematician but also a violinist and composer during the First World War, he took his violin to war. He also went to Otago Boys High. So there's more of a musical lineage there than maybe you would first think. Hmm.
Is there something about the geography, the landscape or the layout of the town that lends itself to this, I guess, very fruitful, you know, number of musicians, or, you know, this place, which is just this crazy breeding ground of all these musicians?
I suppose it's changed so much. Around about this time in the 80s and 90s that we sort of, well, we weren't just focusing on that, we were focusing all over. But at that time, there were a lot of venues south of the Octagon, and that changed. That has changed a lot in the last 30 years. As I'm sure you're aware, there's hardly any venues now. Mm-hmm. Apart from, you know, there's the main ones, like there's the Regent Theatre, there's the Town Hall, the Glenroy Auditorium. But they're, you know, they're for large touring shows. If you're doing a smaller show, there's really only Dive or maybe Bark to go to. But in terms of... That's a really good question. I think a lot of because there was a sort of a split earlier in the 80s, so the North Dunedin bands, you know, the bands that formed from schools and from the university, they would often play in those venues around there. But having said that, people would move around and they were all forming bands with different people, so they were all quite mobile in terms of where they would play. Mm. But it is quite interesting. You and I spoke a while ago about the exhibition that we had on about Flying Nun for the 40th anniversary of Flying Nun. And we had a big venue map on the wall by Robert Scott, and it showed the venues in the 80s and 90s. And a lot of them, a huge amount, were south of the Octagon, and they're no more. They're just all gone.
Mm-hmm. Is there an appetite for, you know, the creation of more venues in Dunedin?
I think so. There's the Save Dunedin Venues movement. Mm. The Crown is sort of endangered at the moment, so everyone is very much behind supporting the Crown and making sure that venue stays open. Mm-hmm. But there's been a lot of talk in the last few years about Sammy's and why that has sort of been mothballed, and that's a very, very complex situation there. But I'm everyone you talk to and you say, oh, you know, this band isn't coming, or, you know, Dunedin's been missed out on a tour because there's really no suitable place for people to play, and that is a shame, and it's really hard for music fans and for audiences to be able to see people when, you know, there's no place to go.
Oh, what is the state of the record stores in Dunedin at the moment? Are there many currently trading?
There's about three at the moment. So there's a secondhand record store out in South Dunedin called Zodiac, where there's some quite amazing things. There's, of course, the wonderful Disc Den, which is still going and still has the quite extraordinary wall of cassettes. But Disc Den will be... the owners are retiring, so the shop is closing at the end of the year and or the start of next year, and that's going to be such a huge loss. But we've got Relics and Relics in St Andrew Street, And Relics are just phenomenal. And yeah, they're basically where we all go to get our music.
Nice one. All right. Hey, Amanda, thank you very much. And we'll check in with you another time.
Thank you so much, Johnny.
No problem. Okay, bye.
Kia ora. Bye. Tell me that you're crazy like my love. Want me like you're crazy like my love. Kiss me like you're crazy, crazy for me, baby. All the words still in my mind. I went to the Hindu temple, poured milk among the flowers. Caught me smiling, smiling at the edges. Afterwards we sat at the cafe across from the funeral parlor. Sure there was enough to go around, but I was full, so full I could drown. We talked about it in the evening light. You said out loud how you were scared inside. My world is electric, you're the guiding. But you stayed in your own way. Tell me that you're crazy like my love. Want me like you're crazy like my love. Kiss me like you're crazy, crazy for me, baby. And all the words are still in my mind. I go to the house where memories live, and all that is left of the world's first cities is splendor and sorrow, duty and dust. Her gold will melt, there are no returns. Listening for the unquiet dead, we are not the smoke, we are the fire. When the space came, I felt like I might disappear. We talked about it in the morning light. To be honest, I was scared at the sight. What is electric takes a spark to ignite. Lovers leave in their own way. Tell me that you're crazy like my love. Want me like you're crazy like my love. Kiss me like you're crazy, crazy for me, baby. Tell me that you're crazy like my love. Want me 'cause you're crazy, crazy like my love. Kiss me like you're crazy. Come on, darling, save me. All the words are still in my mind. Tell me that you're crazy like my love. Want me like you're crazy, like my love. Kiss me like you're crazy, crazy for me, baby. Darling, all the words still in my mind. Move on, find someone new, pick yourself up, start over. 1,000 stars could come and go and we'd still be learning how to be courageous fools, waking up to the dawn each day. When I drove so fast to reach you, I knew you'd be there.
That was
Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz. It's just fascination.